7 practical ways to love others next week. 7 ways to, or 7 steps to sanctification. So that'll be a blessing as well. But tonight's passage here in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 13 to 15 is, again, some practical ways that we can love one another. So, starting in verse 13, where we finished last week, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. So tonight, to all men, that'll be our title. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom as we study your word together. Lord, we know it is our duty and our privilege to love one another as Christ loves us. And I pray, Lord, you would guide us and speak to our hearts through your word tonight in this matter, and that you'd be pleased and glorified. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. So 7 practical ways to love one another in this passage to all men. Remember, we're told to love not just Christians, but everyone. Amen? We're told to love the lost. They need Jesus Christ. We're to love them. We're to love one another. And Jesus said there in John 13, a new commandment I give unto you. What made it new? We'd already been told in the Old Testament to love our neighbors ourselves. What made it new is he said, as I have loved you. He took it up another notch. It's no longer love them as yourself, but love them as Christ loved us, which is love that we could study forever and not completely comprehend. Amen? Unconditional love. So, number 1, 13, be at peace among yourselves. Get along. That's pretty standard and basic, isn't it? Get along with each other. Get along with others. Romans 12, 18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Get along with others. Be forbearing. But be at peace among yourselves. 1 Peter 3:11, let him seek peace, the Bible says. So one of the first ways is just to get along, to be at peace with others, to seek peace, we're told in Psalm 34, verse 14. So one way that we can love others is to get along with them. We're always going to have conflict. We're always going to have people that are hard to get along with. But be Christ-like and get along. Verse 14, number 2, warn them that are unruly. So one of the ways, and we don't often think about this, we can love others, especially our brothers and sisters, is to warn those who are straying. That's a command, by the way. It's not just here, but it's in other places. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians 3 in verse 14, but it's in many places in the scriptures that we are to warn our brothers and sisters in love when we see them drifting away from God. Now, we have to do it in the right spirit, right? Galatians chapter 6, you which are spiritual. So we must make sure that we are in the spirit, that we are in the right spirit when we do this, but it is a command. 2 Thessalonians 3:14 says, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. You count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. See that word admonish? That means to warn with love. That's what admonish means. Fathers are told to bring their children up in the nurture and what? Admonition of the Lord. That's admonish. It means to warn them with love. And so when we see a brother or sister straying, what are we supposed to do? Sit back and watch them fall? No. We're to warn them. Listen, I see you drifting, and I love you, and I'm praying for you, and I hope you'll come back to the Lord. So to get along and to warn those that are unruly. Number 3, verse 14 of our passage, comfort the feeble-minded. I've often wondered about this passage, how we're supposed to determine who's feeble-minded. But we are commanded to comfort one another. And matter of fact, God says that one of the reasons he allows us to go through trials is to give us the empathy we need to comfort others who go through similar trials. Amen? That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3, and 4. We can turn there quickly. Remember when we finished up chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, after God tells us about the wonderful upcoming rapture, what does he say at the end of that passage? Comfort one another with these words. Comfort. Use these great truths to comfort one another. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them who are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Sometimes God allows us to go through a trial so that we can, in the future, help someone else going through the same trial. And say, God comforted me through that trial. God helped me through it. God will help you through it. Amen? So to comfort, get along, warn the unruly, comfort. And then he says in verse 14, support the weak. He's not talking here about physically weak. He's talking about spiritually weak. We need to help them. We need to encourage them. We need to help see them grow in the Lord, which is what discipleship is all about, isn't it? But this is, go to Romans 15, verse 1. This is one of the practical ways that we can love others, is to support weak Christians. To not sit back and say, oh yeah, I knew they were going to stumble like that. But no, to try to help them grow, to support them. Romans 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. So there it is again. Help bear their infirmities. And we're told in Galatians 6, 1, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. So get along, warn those that are wandering, comfort others, support the weak. What else does he say in 1 Thessalonians 5:14? Be patient. We can all use more patience. How do you think God develops patience in our lives? How does he develop love in our lives? He brings people into our lives that are hard to love. How do you think he develops patience? He brings things into our lives that test our patience, doesn't he? The only way that our patience can grow and become more Christ-like is if it's tested. But if this says to be patient toward all men, and I know no one in here has ever lost their patience with another human, but if you ever have been tempted to, God says that's not the way to go. That's not scriptural. James 5:8, be patient. Ephesians 4:2. Forbearing one another in love. So one of the ways that we can love one another is to be patient with one another. Knowing that we're all at different levels of our spiritual walk. Knowing that we are all going through some sort of a trial, most likely. Many times they're not outward visible trials, but they are trials nonetheless. To show more patience with one another. So get along, warn the unruly, comfort, support the weak, be patient toward all men. That would include the lost, wouldn't it? And then verse 15. See that none render evil for evil. This has always been our temptation in the flesh, has it not? From the time we were a child. If anyone ever had a sibling, you know what this is all about, right? He hit me first. That made it okay for me to hit him. We've always had this in our flesh, this tendency to want to lash out and render evil for evil, to pay them back, if you will. Once we're Christians, that's no longer allowed. Once we're Christians, now we have to trust God and never render evil for evil. Someone hurts us, our response is never to try to hurt them back. And that's many times in the scriptures, but 1 Peter 3:9, not rendering evil for evil. You can look at Romans 12:17 quickly. Romans 12 and this 1 Thessalonians 5 are what I call shotgun passages rather than rifle passages. You know, a rifle just uses a single shot, but a shotgun spreads out. And if you've ever read Romans 12, which we went through Romans, it covers so many parts of our Christian life. And this, as you'll see here, 1 Thessalonians 5 is the same way. Shotgun passage is even more so next week when we get to verse 16, 17. Rejoice evermore, quench not the spirit, in everything give thanks, and on and on. But notice one Romans 12, 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. So the sixth way that we can practically love one another is to never render evil for evil. So get along, warn the unruly, comfort others, support the weak, be patient toward all men, never render evil for evil. And lastly, verse 15, what are we to do to all men? Follow that which is good. Just be a good person. Be good to others. Ever follow that which is good. And then 1 Peter 3:8 is a good cross-reference if you want to turn there. But be kind to people. Be good. To who? All men. And that's our title. All men. Not just our brothers and sisters, not just our best friends. All men. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Be good to one another. So Jesus commanded us to love one another as Christ loved us. And even said that would be one of the earmarks of Christianity to the world. Right? John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another, which you and I all know that love is action. Love is what we do. It's not what we feel. Here's some seven practical ways that we can show love to others. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And I pray that we would ever strive to practically, in our actions, love others as you have loved us. And Lord, we know the devil's going to keep throwing things in our path to try to get us to lash out, to be impatient, to render evil for evil. But may we always recognize the source and do as you've commanded us to, and that's to show love to all men. So thank you for speaking to our hearts. We love you. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.